Welcome to this Friday edition of Money Life. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we are going to answer your questions today. But first, Chuck, we get to do something that I love doing, and that's being able to report back about how listeners have been impacted by the program. And if you remember back in April, we had Pat Capehu from WorkOptions.com. She lives out in Hawaii, and she spent 2 days with us talking about her business and what she does to help people have flexible work schedules. And she got a great response from a lady in Tennessee.
Well, she did, Dave, and this one really is why we do this program every day, because it demonstrates that the program helps people. Pat referenced that there was an opportunity to have work options, and this was a mother in Tennessee, a mom with a young child, and she wrote Pat and said, "I just want to be a stay-at-home mother, but my income is the same as my husband's, and there's absolutely no way that I can quit work. What can I do?" Well, Pat advised her how to request a flexible work day, and then Pat got this email back, which she shared with us, and it was just April the 28th. She said, "I promised to let you know how things went after speaking with my supervisor. Well, I was approved to be off every Monday effective May the 12th. Mm. And this is such a blessing, and I praise God. Thank you for your advice and assistance. I can now spend more time with my baby girl who just turned 1 year old. And I look forward to May the 12th, which will be the Monday after Mother's Day." Mm-hmm. "What a perfect gift God granted me." Mm-hmm. And Dave, that's just this coming Monday.
You bet.
So this listener has already experienced one of the blessings of God. And what a great solution. You know, many people are in this situation where they've got two incomes. They don't know what to do. In fact, I'm going to answer one of those questions today.
Yep.
After the break. But this particular solution was the very best for this couple, and we're so glad to be of help.
Well, it is the reason we exist. We're here to give people help, and we give people hope and insight on how they can either make money or manage it better or use their resources to fulfill the purposes God has for their life.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I've got some news, and I've got just a few seconds before the break to make this announcement. I've actually been in a lockup until now.
Okay.
Just yesterday, my oldest son, Hank, and his wife, Lindsay, said that we were free to tell everybody that Ann and I are going to be grandparents.
Oh, congratulations.
We are delighted. Their first child is due in December.
Wow.
Hank and Lindsay have been married 6 years, and we just can't wait till the baby gets here, and we're praying for them now.
Oh, congratulations to both you and Hank and Lindsay as well. You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be answering your questions.
The economy is frontline news, but how do you know who you can trust? Each day on Money Life, we'll bring you up-to-date information on the topics that are important to you. From the current housing crisis to protecting your investments, Money Life will bring you a balanced biblical perspective to the world around you. Calling on some of today's best financial advisors, Money Life will go deep on topics so you can be informed before you make a decision. Money Life will also bring you the stories of everyday people that will inspire and encourage you to live out God's financial principles.
Hi, this is Chuck Bentley, host of Money Life, and I hope you'll join me each day as we discover how to make money, how to manage it well, and how to use it to fulfill God's purposes. It's a crazy world out there, but there's hope, help, and insight available, and I look forward to discovering it together with you.
Join Chuck Bentley for Money Life each weekday. Money Life is a broadcast production of Crown Financial Ministries.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we are answering your questions today. And Chuck, I love these kind of programs. They're so fun, and we get to go through a lot of different scenarios and topics, and I hope that the answers that we give will help not only the person who wrote the question, but many others who might find themselves in similar situations. And certainly our first question deals with a topic that I think, because of the economy, many folks are looking at alternative work situations. And this listener writes to us and he says, "Chuck, I'm interested in starting a part-time business, but I don't know how to get started. I was thinking about either a small carpentry business, handyman type work, or even flipping real estate." And then he goes on to explain that he grew up in that industry and so forth. What would you tell him?
Well, we're all in a time when there's a great deal of uncertainty, a lot of changes in our economy, And I know many of you are thinking about starting a business, and you're thinking about how can you go on the offense and improve your income. And in fact, God's Word says a lot about that, and there's some wonderful principles. But because you ask a specific question about a specific area, I just want to go directly to what your question was. Should you start a carpentry business or flip houses? Well, first of all, answer this question for yourself. Can you run a business, or are you just a good carpenter? Now, there's a major, major fork in the road there, because many people who are good at something, especially in the service business, they can do the job, but they can't run a business. And by that, I mean, can you do marketing? Do you know how to do billing, collections, bookkeeping, pay your taxes on time? All of those are the components of being a good business person. So you have to decide, are you a gifted carpenter, or are you a gifted business person? And if you're not a business person, then consider, do I need a partner? Do I have a spouse that can help with that? Or do you need to contract all of those services? Because that's the big mistake many people make. And then secondly, do you know how to price your services so you'll have good cash flow? It's cash flow that kills most businesses, and you need to be able to bid well and to price your services well and have some experience at that, so you don't find out that you're doing a lot of work but making no money at it. And then I would consider, what are the demographics in your area? Do people want high-end quality work, or do they want low-end fast work? And if it's low-end fast work, then you've got to be really, really good, because people aren't going to train you to learn how to be really, really good. So make that distinction and then decide what customers to go after. Now, you ask how to get started. Here's a real simple way. Do you know somebody else that does tradesman type work, a painter, electrician, a plumber, that you could come alongside and say, do you have any leads for me? And if you do, then when I get a job, I'll use leads for you. And you just start to work together and get started. Another opportunity would be to place an ad on Craigslist. Craigslist is one of the top visited websites in the world. You can post your ad for free. And then you don't have any real investment. Test to see if you get any calls. That way you can start small and just see if it's going to work before you spend a lot of money doing it. Now, your final question was, should you buy and flip houses right now? You also said in your email that you don't have much financial margin. Well, I would tell you to avoid that right now. The housing market is extremely soft. There's a lot of foreclosures that you would have to compete with. And my opinion is that if you don't have financial margin and you can't hang on to a house for a long period of time, don't buy them and think you can flip it. But put the two ideas together. Because you're a handyman, maybe you can repair the houses for somebody else who's buying and flipping houses. That may be your real niche. So consider those things. Pray and ask God. Be sure your spouse is on the same page with you, and let us know how it goes.
That's good advice. You know, Chuck, this listener, interestingly, cannot get the program on a radio station where he lives. And so he actually listens to the program via podcast. And if you're unfamiliar with podcasting, you can go to crown.org and take a look on our site and find out how to do that. But we basically will deliver the program straight to your computer every day, and you can listen to it whenever it's convenient for you.
Well, and those listeners are responding. They're sending me questions to chuckbentley@crown.org, and I just love it. I love having the opportunity to try to help them and be real specific on the air with what they're needing.
Here's our second question. It says, my wife and I are both teachers. We had a baby about 10 months ago. My wife stayed home for the first 2 months of school and then went back to work in October. She really wants to stay home to raise the baby, but my fear is that we will not have enough money to make ends meet. I don't know what to do. I want her to be happy, and I want the baby to be happy, but at what cost?
Boy, what a great question, and one that I really want to speak to you about, because you're in a dilemma. You're in a leadership dilemma as a husband and a father. And here's some advice just from my own heart. You're going to have to do some soul searching, because what you really need to do is to solve both of those objectives at the same time. You don't pick one or the other. And for you, it sounds like you're thinking real black and white, that either you got to keep the wife at work or she comes home and you go down the tubes financially. But that's really not the case. So here's what I would advise you to do. Set a goal to meet both objectives, to honor your wife and her desire to be at home, and also to keep your family's finances healthy. So here's what it's going to take. First of all, you got to consider a long-term view of it. It's not going to happen quickly. It sounds like you don't have a lot of margin. So first of all, determine what's the net income that your wife brings home. And it's probably less than you think. Figure out how much you spend on clothing, commuting, taxes, meals, all the other expenses. And then that's the number you've got to come up with somehow, some way. And you're going to do it either through offense, where you improve your income, or you're going to improve it through defense, where you carve it out of your income. So get the number and then sit down with your wife, get a babysitter, and go to a quiet place and tell her you've got some good news. You've set a goal that you're going to help bring her home to be with the baby, and then ask for her help and divide up your plan. Ask her to take part of it, maybe the defense, you take the offense, but say we're going to accomplish this goal within a certain timeline. And maybe it's before the baby turns 3 years old. It's not going to be quick because you're in somewhat of a limited situation to make it work, it sounds like. But tell her she will be home, but you're going to have to work together. And then start working the plan and stay after it. What you've got to do is don't just hope that she can come home. Don't just be worried about her coming home, but put a plan together, get her approval, and then ask God to give you the faithfulness and perseverance until you meet that objective. I think it will be a wonderful process for both of you to strengthen your marriage and to bless that little baby.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are some options as well in the education realm. In fact, we talked earlier in the program about Pat Capehoo with workoptions.com.
Right.
Substitute teachers are needed all the time. They're on a part-time or an as-needed basis. And that may be an option for them to check out as well in their process of getting themselves to a place where she can be home full-time.
Yeah, and the flexible workday in the interim is a great option, like the lady from Tennessee wrote us about.
Absolutely. Well, we'll continue to answer your questions when we get back after this short break. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll be back right after this.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth that'll last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we are answering your questions today. And Chuck, this next question comes from a listener in Arizona, and he writes, I was recently laid off from a residential construction management job, and he says the market there is terrible, and he thought that this would be an opportunity to change his career. He writes, my wife and I met with a career placement rep yesterday. He says that I am a mid-range income candidate and that I've been earning in that range for the last 6 years. Here's the catch. He wants $5,500. Is this typical for a career placement firm?
Well, many people are caught in that situation, and if you're one of those, I want to talk to you because this probably will help multiples of you who are considering a career change because you've been wiped out possibly in the space you've been in. One answer is to, well, let's just deal with the career placement firm first. There are fee-based firms and also commission-based firms, and it sounds like the $5,500 is a real ouch to you and there's no guarantee it's going to work. So I would go to a commission-based firm where you don't have to pay an upfront fee, and then ask those fees to come out of your first year salary or even possibly that your employer would pay for those fees. That sounds like a better option for you. But also there's some other choices that may not involve going to a placement firm. First off, if you built a network of people and friends who really love you and you've poured into their life, I would tell them exactly what you're interested in doing and just let other people have a part in a ministry in your life right now. Most guys know what it's like and that angst of being out of work and in between jobs or in between careers. And a lot of people are really anxious to help others, and they may say, hey, I've got something right now where we're looking for a good person. So first, network. And then secondly, call people in the field that you want to be in and just say, you know, I'm very interested in your field. Can I buy you lunch? Can I talk to you about your job, your work, where your industry is going so I can learn how to get in? Well, what you're going to find out is not only you're going to understand more about the field, but those are probably people that will be interested in helping you. And then third, meet with people at your church. You know, it's a lonely journey. And if you are in community and you're praying about it and you're asking other believers to come around you, I think God can open those doors probably even better than any other option that you have. So that would be my advice to any of you who are going through a job or career change right now.
That's good advice. Our next question comes from a listener in North Carolina, and she writes, my husband has a truck with a high monthly payment purchased prior to our relationship. He still owes 3.5 years on it and would lose money if he traded it in. He also says he needs the truck for his side business. Is it a bad idea to refinance the truck to get the payments lower so we can pay off our credit card debt quicker?
Well, your question has a couple of common denominators, and one is that you're not on the same page about money, and so we got to help bring you into unity there. And second is you don't have any margin, and we've talked over and over and over again, the best goal, the best advice, the Lord's advice is to get financial margin so that you have room to make decisions. And so I'm going to dissect your question a little bit so that I can help you get on the same page. First, you ask, should you work to lower your overhead so that you can pay off your credit cards quicker? Let me say it 3 times. Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely. Of course, you need to pay off those credit card debts. You're on the right track. That's the direction to go. But you said, should we refinance the truck? Well, here's what I'm thinking. Probably not. Instead of trading it in where you're going to lose money, consider selling it outright and paying off the note completely. And if you can't come out even right now by selling it, well, hold on to it until you think you can break even and then sell it and get out from under it. Because trucks generally hold their value if you take good care of them. But I think that's a better solution than refinancing it. Now, then there's another little interesting component to your question. You said that your husband needs a truck for his side business. Well, I wasn't sure if he needs the truck he has or he's asking to buy another truck. So it leaves the door open for maybe going a different direction with this question. If he says, hey, I don't want to sell the truck, I can't sell the truck, I've got to keep it, then let's talk about the side business. Is it producing any income with that truck? And if it is, then it ought to be able to carry the payments in that side business. So what you may want to do instead of insisting that he sell the truck is you may want to come along and say, how can I help you in that side business so that we can pay off the truck more quickly? That's more of an offensive move than a defensive move. But the main thing is you sit down with your husband and say, which would you rather do? Let's go on the offense and work this side business, or let's go on the defense and get out from under this load so we can pay off this debt. I think that brings you to the same place where you need to be.
Good advice, Chuck. Our next question comes from Georgia, and our listener writes, everything we save goes into my husband's 401k. We are saving about 10% of his income. The 401k is managed for us, and I'm concerned because we lost money in the late 80s in the market. I think it might be better to put some into a safer vehicle, possibly an IRA at a competitive bank, and have some liquid for emergencies. If I'm right, how do I convince him?
Well, I don't know how you can convince him, but let me just give you some specific advice that may help you with getting on the same page. First of all, you're suffering from economic insecurity, and it sounds like you feel like your husband just doesn't understand and you wisely want to develop an emergency plan. So here's what I'd suggest. Ask to take him to dinner. Go to his favorite restaurant and tell him how happy you are that he's been able to save so much money since you lost so much in the 80s. Affirm him, appreciate him, and explain to him that you're fearful and you want to talk to him about it. And then tell him if he would be willing to allow you to look at some other options, could you bring a plan to him and ask him for his input and consideration on other things you might be able to do with that money in terms of an emergency account or less risky investments so that you have a little bit more stability. And then consider what he says and listen to his advice. The main thing is don't bug him about it, but help him to see that you're just trying to get you both on the same page. I think he'll listen. I think he'll come out in great shape.
Well, you're listening to Money Life. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Tired of struggling to pay your bills every month? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't to make more money. It's to learn to manage what God has already given you. And we have something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes. Crown Envelopes from Crown Financial Ministries is one of the most advanced money management systems ever. Crown Envelopes will help you easily create a home budget online and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you exactly how much you have left in any budget category. Crown Envelopes gives you access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley, and we've been answering your questions today. And Chuck, we have just a few minutes left, but I'd like you to take some time to answer this question from a listener in Colorado. And she writes, I'm single and was just diagnosed with cancer. I have health insurance, but no disability, so I will need to take time off from work without pay for treatment and recovery. What's the best way to support myself financially and pay bills while not working? I have $100,000 in equity in my home, $10,000 in a 401k, and $3,000 in the bank. Should I take out a HELOC on my home, refinance, withdraw my 401k? What's the safest and wisest way for me to do this?
Well, first let me say to you that I'm sorry you're going through this experience with cancer, and my heart goes out to you, and we'll certainly pray for you. We all journeyed through that experience when Larry Burkett had cancer, and he wrote a wonderful book called Nothing to Fear, and it's very, very encouraging, and I'd be happy to send you a copy of Larry's book, and hopefully would encourage you during this time. But let's talk about your financial needs. First of all, I would consider not stopping work completely and talking to your employer about at least having some part-time work. I think it'll help you in your recovery if you're able to do it and it's not physically demanding, and it'll keep your mind off of it. We went through that with one of our employees who was single and went through brain surgery, but she continued to work part-time, and we just worked through that with her, and it was really helpful to everybody involved. Then secondly, consider asking for help. You can go to your family or your church and just let them know that you're in a tough spot and you'd prefer not to have to draw down on your emergency resources right now. And possibly there's some things that they could do to come alongside you to be sure you don't drain down on these assets that you have. And then some of the options that you've considered, I really don't like very many of them, the ones that you've presented, because I don't know what your interim income needs are, and I don't know what you normally earn, but I wouldn't go to the HELOC. That's a home equity line of credit, and you'd basically just be eroding your best assets just to have the cash. So what I would do is look for alternative ways to have the cash that you need, look for help, go to the body of Christ, members of your family, talk to your employer, and try to hang on to those assets so that when you do recover, you're not back down to zero. And I think there's some alternatives that'll get you through that. We'll be happy to send you Larry's book and to be praying for you.
Well, Chuck, we are out of time for today's program. It has been very enjoyable to answer these questions, and I hope they have been helpful. If you would like to ask Chuck a question, you can do that by writing chuckbentley@crown.org. That's chuckbentley@crown.org. And for all our moms in the audience, we want to say happy Mother's Day to you. We hope you have a great weekend this weekend.
Well, and I do want to wish all the ladies in my life, all the moms in my life, my mom Joanne, my mother-in-law Karen, my daughter-in-law, Lindsay, who's a mom-to-be, and my beloved wife, Ann. Happy Mother's Day.
Well, have a great weekend, and join us again on Monday for another edition of Money Life.